Hey y'all, this is Dark Side of Hollywood. How are you guys doing? Hope you're doing very well. I hope you like the recent episode I did of Drake Bell. It gives more insight of what he did to his victims. I like it, and it kind of reminds me of the episode I did of James Franco. It gives a little bit more insight of both of the cases, how the victims went through. And be traumatized of them and shit like that. So I hope you guys listen to those episodes. As well, I'm going to cut my introduction very short. My introduction will be like 5 or 6 minutes long, but I am going to cut it short. I'm just going to like immediately go straight into the episode. So yeah, this episode is going to be a little bit different. I'm covering of being stalked and murdered. And that's like, you know, being part of being a celebrity that you have stalkers or someone's plotting your death. Shit like that. So it's fucking crazy. And let's get into this episode, y'all. Who is David Chapman? Honestly, I didn't know anything about them. I actually don't know anything about the Beatles. I haven't listened to their music. I don't know why, but I haven't listened to the music. But when I heard of how one of the Beatles, one of the members, John Lennon, got killed, is his killer went up to him and wanted him to autograph something, and a few hours he killed him. So I was pretty like, I was really shocked, and like I was like very surprised. And I heard about this on TikTok, so most of my ideas are TikTok. So that's where I got the idea. So, who is Mark David Chapman? He was born on May 10th, 1995 in Fort Worth, Texas. That's basically 35 or 40 minutes away from me. His father is David Chapman, a staff surgeon in U.S. Air Force, and his mother, Diana Chapman, she was a nurse. His whole family moved to Georgia. When I was researching about him, they really didn't cover that he had a sister. They didn't really mention her that much. He had a very bad childhood. He had an abusive father. He will wake up to hear his mother screaming for help and go out there and try to make it stop. Like he will push his way. He would push his father away from his mother. That's honestly very sad. I feel like nobody, no any child should do that. Just wake up one night hearing your mom scream for help, then you go out there and like try and make it stop. It is a very dramatic, and no kid has to go through that. Causes childhood trauma. In school, he would get bullied just because he wasn't athletic, but he was very intelligent kid. His IQ was very high. He didn't have any friends in school, so he would just make up imaginary friends, and that's how he would be entertained. And then when he was in his teens, he will do drugs, skip out school, and run away from homes for a couple weeks and return. Later, he became a YCMA summer camp counselor, and he loved it. He was very popular with kids. He even got complimented from the executive director that he was a hard worker. Mark tried to do college, but eventually he just dropped out. He dropped out two colleges. By making money, he would get different jobs, but he will get fired. Then he worked in YCMA, where he helped Vietnamese refugees. And he got complimented how he worked and how he is very kind to others. He even shook the hand of President Ford. And then a few years later, in 1997, he tried to commit suicide by gassing himself inside his car. But someone found him in the car and he was hospitalized for mental illness. Later, when he was released, he was hired to work in the hospital. His supervisor complimented him when he would take care of the elderly. He was very good, and the elderly will keep asking for him. I noticed that he's very good at taking care of people. Like, even the boss will, like, say something. Shit. I try to redo this episode, like, one time. I keep messing this one up. A friend recommended him a book that's called The Catcher in the Rye, and he was inspired by the book. He was trying to be, like, the main character of the book. And Mark traveled to the east, the eastern countries. And then he had a relationship with a travel agent that her name is Gloria. Then they got married June 2nd, 1979. More inside of the marriage, Mark had gotten a new higher paying job at the hospital, but lost it in short order after an argument with a supervisor. Then he took a job as a security guard, but quits within minutes. He started drinking heavily, and Gloria Chapman said it got physical abusive several times. And by fall 1980, Mark Chapman was struggling with depression and obsession, including with Lemon. He considered the former Beatles star a phony who valued money and fame over his music. He even told her that he will kill John Lemon. Even alleged Mark started to plan to kill John Lemon. And when he was a kid or teen, somewhere there, I think teens, he was a really big fan of the Beatles. Mark alleged started planning to kill John Lemon 3 months prior to the murder. Again, he was a big fan of the Beatles. And then he started to turn against him. Mark is a Christian man. He was very religious. And then John Lemon said in 1966 that the Beatles Beatles being more popular than Jesus. And some of the members of Mark Prayer Group made a joke in reference to Lemon's song, Imagine. It went, imagine, imagine if John Lemon was dead. And then he also said this to his wife. Oh, this is what his wife said about Mark. About John Lemon. He was angry at Lemon will preach love and peace by yet millions. She said later, he told us to imagine no possessions, and there he was with millions of dollars in yachts and farm, county, and states, laughing at people like me who have believed the lies and bought the records and built a big part of their lives around his music. And this is what he also said. I will listen to his music and I will get angry at him for saying that he didn't believe in God. That he just believed him and Yoki and he didn't believe in the Beatles. This was another thing angered me, even though this record had done at least 10 years previously. I wanted to scream out loud. Who does he think he's saying these things about God and heaven and the Beatles? Saying that he doesn't believe in Jesus and things like that? At that point, my mind was going through a blackness of anger and rage. So I brought the lemon book home into this catcher rye where my mindset is holding Caulfield in anti-phoniness. The catcher in the rye is a big... It's a big thing of Mark. I feel like that's where he started, like, to wanted to murder him. So the catcher is a very, the big thing of this case, of this murder. I like to point that out. You guys are gonna hear that. This is a timeline of how John Lemon got, a timeline of the murder of John Lemon. Chapman went to New York in October 1980, planning to kill Lemon, but left to obtain ammunition from his unwitting friend. He returned to New York in November, but reports that after going to cinema and being inspired by the film of Ordinary People, he returned to Hawaii telling his wife he had been obsessed with killing Lemon, but he had snapped out of it. On December 6th, he flew back to New York. He reports having reenacted some fictional events from Holden Caulfield and stayed in New York in the catcher in the rye. On the morning of December 8th, 1980, having left personal items in his room for the police to find, Mark bought a copy of Catcher in the Rye from a New York bookstore in which he wrote the statement and signed the Catcher in the Rye. He then spent most of the days near the entrance to Dakota apartment building where Lemon, his wife Yoki, lived, talking to other friends and the doorman. At one point, it distracted Mark, seeing John Lemon step out of the cab, entered the Dakota building on the morning of December 8th. Late in New York, Chapman met the Lemon's housekeeper who had just taken their 5-year-old son, Sean, for a walk. Mark conversed with the housekeeper and patted Sean on the head as they departed. Around 5 p.m., John and Yoki left the Dakota for a recording session at the Record Planet Studios. As they walked towards the limousine on the curb, Mark shook his hands with Lemon and held out a copy of Lemon's new album, Double Fantasy, for him to sign. Photographer Paul was present when Lemon signed Chapman's album and took a photo of the event. Mark reported that at that point my big part won and I wanted to go back to my hotel, but I couldn't. I waited until he came back. I knew where the ducks went in the winter. Just like a little Texan accent, or how you say, went on. I needed to know this. A reference to the catcher in the rye. Around 10:50 p.m., the John Lemon's mezzanine returned to Dakota. Lemon and Yoki passed by Mark and walked towards the archway entrance of the building courtyard. From the street, Chapman turned and fired 5 hollow point bullets from a Carter Arms Point 30 revolver that he had purchased in Hawaii, 4 of which hit Lemon's back of the shoulder. One of the bullets pierced Lemon Arita. I can't pronounce this word. He had been suggested that before firing, Chapman called out Mr. Lemon and drop into a comment stance, but this is not stated in court hearings or interviews. Mark remained at the scene, taking out his copy of Catcher in the Rye and trying to read it until the police arrived. The New York Police Department officer first responded to the shooting, recognized that Lemon's wounds were severe, so they decided to transfer him in the police car to the hospital. Chapman was arrested was an incident, and in his statement to police 3 hours later, Mark stated, "I'm sure the large part of me is Holden Caulfield, who is the main person in the book. The small part of me be the devil." John Lemon was declared dead at 11:20 p.m. after losing more than 80% of his blood. In August, Mark Chapman was sentenced to 20 years to life in prison, slightly less than the maximum possible of 25 years to life. So, Mark has been in prison since 1981 in Arnica State Prison, which is near Buffalo in western New York. He has been separated from other prisoners because of concern for his safety. To the end, Mark is confined within a secure housing unit for violent and at-risk prisoner. There are 105 other prisoners in the building who are not considered to pose a threat to him, according to New York State Department of Correctional Service. He has his own prison cell, but spends most of his days outside his cell working housekeeping in the library. Mark Chapman reportedly likes to read and write short stories. He told his parole board hearing in 2004 that if he's released, he would like to minister on Jesus and God. He also said that he thought that there was possibility he could find work as a farmhand or return to his previous trade as a printer. Mark is on the family reunion program and is allowed 2 visits a year with his wife. The program allows him to spend up to 42 hours alone with his wife, specially built prison home. He gets occasionally visits from his sister and a few friends. His mother is his only regular visitor and died in February 2004. Mark has been declined parole 4 times by 3-member board and closed hearings lasting less than an hour. October 2000, October 2002, October 24, and October 2006. Tons of people, especially Yoki, John Lemon's wife, want him to be in jail. They don't. They like pursue this. Like, he's in danger. Like, he can't come out at all. And just like petitions online of him, of not letting him out. I understand that. So let me read to y'all like a couple of these. I remember I read one that was like pretty good. Well, all of them are pretty good, I would say. Okay, let's do this one. Prior to 2000 hearing, Yoki sent a letter to the board opposing the release of Chapman, whom she refers to as a subject. Yoki's letter released to the media after it was by the press spokesman, Elliot, stated that Lemon brought light and hope to the whole world and would have gladly changed his position with the subject and lived the life of protection that the subject enjoys now. She stated that if Chapman were granted parole, myself and John's 2 sons will not feel safe for the rest of our life. People are in a position of high visible and outspokenness, such as John, would also feel unsafe. And that many will feel betrayed, anger, and fear would rise again. People in the outside world who are strongly distressed about what he has done would feel that it is unfair that the subject is rewarded with a normal life while John lost his. Violence begets violence. An online petition to the parole board never to release Chapman was started by Sarah Jane. As of August 3, 2007, had reportedly collected 9,299 signatures supporting statements such as Chapman committed a heinous crime unprovoked and without remorse. He deserved to pay this with life in prison, and also a matter of public safety that he will not be released. At a 50-minute hearing in 2000, Chapman stated that he is not a danger to society. He had overcome the psychological problems that he had at the time of the murder. He also stated that, as a conservative, he believed he did not deserve to be free, and that, "I believe once you take the person's life, there's no way you can make it up for that," period. He also spoke up about regret for their effect on Yogi. And parole board held a third hearing in 2004. The board reported that their decision was based on the MTV, a review of the records. The board said this decision was based on the extreme malicious intent you exhibit during the instant offense when you fired a handgun multiple times, striking your target. One of the reasons given by the board was having subject Yogi by suffering by witnessing the crime. They stated during the interview, "Your statement, your motivation acknowledges the attention you felt this murder would generate. To release you on parole at this time would significantly undermine respect for the law. Around 6,000 people had signed an online petition by this time. John Lemon's fans were threatened to redistribute if you were released." I did not pronounce that word not well. And there's like more and more. All right, this is gonna be this part. He did an interview September 30th, 2000. He got an interview of Larry King, and it's called "A Look Back at Mark David Chapman in His Own Words." I am going to skip a few things around. I'm not going to do the introduction. And then that's where I begin to skip. Let's see. Let's see. All right. This is like kind of in the middle. Okay. Again, I'm not starting like introduction and shit like that. Mark Chapman. The Secret Service asked me that if Lemon would have fortunately died a few days prior, say in an automobile accident, would you have stalked someone else? I can't answer that question. I don't know. I was so bonded with John Lemon at that point that I would tell them this, I would be probably crushed. And at that point, I don't know what I would have done. Larry King said, therefore, you have daily regrets? Mark said, I have regrets. I'm sorry for what I've done. I realize now that I really ended a man's life. Then he was an album cover to me. He didn't exist. Even when I met him earlier that day when he signed an album for me, which he did very graciously. And he was not phony, by the way. He was very patient and cordial. And he asked me if there's anything else. So if that didn't register. And I also met his son that day. If that didn't register that he was a human being, then I wasn't perceiving him as much. I just saw him as a two-dimensional celebrity with no feelings. Larry. Okay, why did Mark David Chapman want to shoot the photo cover? At that point, was a walking show who didn't ever learn how to let out his feelings of anger, of rage, of disappointment. Martin David Chapman was a failure in his own mind. He wanted to become somebody important, Larry. He didn't know how to handle being a nobody. He tried to be somebody through his years, but as progressively it got worse. And I believe I was schizophrenic, I can't pronounce that fucking word. I'm very sorry. At that time, nobody can tell me I wasn't, although I was responsible. Alright, and then I'm going to skip around. Mark, that was there at the building. We struck a conversation about Hawaii, about John Lemon. She had been there a number of times. At one point during the day, she had left and John came back out. I don't remember him going back from the taxi. He was obviously going back in the building. He was doing a RKO radio special. He came into the building. The photographer that I mentioned earlier, Paul, he kind of pushed me forward and said, "Here's your chance, you know. You've been waiting all day. You come from Hawaii to have him sign your album. Go, go." And I was very nervous. I was right in front of John Lemon instantly. And I had a black big pen. And I saw John. "Will you sign my album?" He said, "Sure." Yuki went and got into the car. He pushed the button on the pen and started to get to write. It was a little hard to get to write at first. Then he wrote his name, John Lemon, underneath that. 1980. Then he looked at me, as I mentioned earlier, and he said, "Is that all? Do you want anything else?" And I felt then and now that he knew something subconsciously, that he was looking into my eyes of the person that he was going to kill him. King said, why do you think that? He said, "Well, his wife was in the car. The door was open. He's a busy man. He's going to the radio or to his record studio. He was talking to nobody, just signing an album for nobody. And he asked me, is that all I want? I mean, he's giving me the autograph. I don't have a camera on me. What could I give him?" Larry King said, "I'll admit that is a strange thing to say. All right, so he leaves." Then Mark said, "Yes, he leaves there, a car." King said, "What do you do the rest of the day?" Mark said, "I stand around like an idiot waiting him to come back." King said, "What time did he come back?" Mark said, he came back 10 to 11 at night. Larry said, "Have you eaten dinner?" Mark said, "No, I haven't." Larry said, "Fear you might have missed him?" Mark said, "Probably." Larry said, "I knew you were going to shoot him?" Mark said, "Yes." Larry said, "How did that happen? What happened?" Mark said, "Well, the photographer left. I, in all fairness, have to say I tried to get him to stay. Larry said, "Because?" Mark said, "Because those were the file I want him to shoot the picture of shooting, which is not true." Larry said, "Why then do you want him to stay?" Mark said, "I wanted to say because I wanted out of there. There's a great part of me didn't want to be there. I asked Jude at the fan before she left for a date night. She said no. If she has yes, I would have been on a date with her." Larry said, "But you have might kill him the next day." Mark said, "Oh yes, I will probably come back." Larry said, "The circumstances of killing, what happened?" Mark said, "I was sitting on inside the arc of the Dakota building. It was dark. It was windy. Jose, the doorman, was out along the sidewalk, and there's another odd thing that happened. I was in an angle where I could see the Central Park West 72, and I see the limousine pull up. And as you know, there's probably 100 limousines that turn up in Central Park West in an evening, but I knew that was his. And I said, this is it. I stood up, the limousine pull up, door open, rear left door open. Yoki got out. John was far behind, say 20 feet. When he got out, I nodded to Yoki when she walked by. Larry said, did she nod back? Mark said, no, she didn't. And I don't mean to be clinical about this, but I told him a number of times. I hope you understand. John came out. He looked at me. I think he recognized me. Here's the fellow that I signed the album earlier. He walked past by me. I took 5 steps toward the street, turned, withdrew my Charger arms .38, fired 5 shots into his back. Larry said, all in his back. Mark said, all in his back. Larry said, never saw it coming. Mark said, he never saw anything coming. Larry, it was very quick. It was a rough thing. Larry said, what? Have you shot that weapon before? Mark said, that weapon? No, I didn't know if the bullets were going to work when they work. I remember thinking they're working. I was worried that the plane, the bagging compartment, the humidity had ruined them. I really thinking they were working. Larry said, what did Yoki do? Mark said, she naturally, I can't blame her. She dashed around the stair area. I don't know if it's still there at the Dakota today, but she just, you know, ran for cover, which what anyone would do. John, according to what I've been stumbling up the stairs, then I saw her come back around and go up to the stairs, and she created his body. Larry said, did she scream? Mark said, I don't think she screamed, but a few minutes after that, there was just blood. Curling, screaming for someone, and put it the hair on the back of my neck straight up. Larry said, were you relieved? Mark said, no. What happened before the shooting, before I pulled the trigger, and after, there were two different scenes in my mind. Before anything was like a dead calm, I was ready for this to happen. I even heard a voice of my own inside me say, do it, do it, do it. You know, here we go. And then afterwards, it was like a film strip broke. I fell upon myself. I went to the state of shock. I saw there was a gun hanging, limping down on my right side. Jose, the doorman, came over. He's crying, grabbing and shaking my arm. He shook the gun right out of my hand, which was a very brave thing to do, an armed person. He kicked the gun across the pavement, had somebody take it away, and I was stunned. I don't know what to do. I took the Carter and the Rye out of my pocket. I paced. I tried to read it. I couldn't wait. Larry, until those police got there, I was just devastated. Larry said, oh, wait, hold on. There's a commercial break right there. King said, our J.D. Slinger, who has not been heard from years, wrote The Catcher in the Rye, a book read by millions, admired by millions. I wonder he must be thinking if he is watching this. Mark, are you blaming a book? Mark said, I'm not blaming a book. I blame myself for calling inside of the book. I certainly wanted to say that J.D. Slinger and The Catcher in the Rye didn't cause me to kill John Lemon. In fact, I wrote to J.D. Slinger. I got his box number from someone. I apologized to him for this. I feel badly what I've done. It's my fault. I crawled in. I found my procedo myself with these pages. Larry said, in Holden? Mark said, and played out the whole thing. Larry said, but Holden wasn't violent. Mark said, Holden wasn't violent, but he had a violent thought of shooting someone, emptying a revolver into a fellow's stomach, someone that had done him wrong. But you're right, he's basically very sensitive and probably would not have killed anybody as I did. But that's fictional. Reality was standing in front of Dakota. I skimmed like through, basically saying, Larry just asking Mark if he is like if got attacked or tortured by other cellmates, but basically he have his own cell very tightly secured. If he can eat fan mails, he does. He say he got everything, romance letter as well. That's kind of fucked up. This is where Larry asked him about celebrity stalking and shit like that. Larry said, okay, there's another. Remember the guy who killed Rebecca Schaffner? I don't know. The actress and killed her also. He was reading at Catching a Ray. And there had been other copycatters. Where are thoughts about them? Mark said, I regret that most because John Lemon wasn't the only person to die because of this. There are suicides after, which I deeply regret. Larry said, and there's celebrity stalking. Mark said, and there's celebrity stalking. I love to talk about that, Larry. So it didn't end with the death of John Lemon. And that's, you know, you keep paying for this over and over when you hear of the death of celebrity. And maybe they got the catch and array as John Hickley did. Larry said, tell me what do you think? Mark said, a copy in his Washington hotel room. Larry said, why do you think people stalk celebrities? Mark said, people stalk celebrities. This is just my opinion. I haven't studied psychology because they have nothing inside themselves. Their esteem is rock bottom. They feel that by writing fan letters or actually coming in close contact with a celebrity, they feel important. I know that I did some of those things before. The thought of John Lemon or killing John Lemon came to my mind. I went to an art gallery and Robert Goliath was there and Lisa Nelson was there. I just wanted to be around them. I had my picture taken with Robert and I don't think this has ever come out. I felt important while I was with them. And after you disintegrate disintegrate again, you become nothing. So if you have nothing to start with in life, your life consists of fantasizing about celebrities or being with them. That can be very dangerous. There's a phenomenon in this country now that has to be addressed. That's why the Secret Service have been talking with me and other people to try and find out what was taking this thing here on that night before. I'm meeting with them Friday, by the way. With the Secret Service? Mark said Friday. Larry said, are you going to talk to you about protecting Clinton? Mark said, they asked me about presidential candidates. If there's so many bodyguards, wouldn't that have prevented you? My answer to it is that no, I would still probably stuck out at John Lemon if he had 20 bodyguards. I was that desperate. That is pretty much it. That kind of ended the interview. And then later, the Larry King interview, he interviewed with a journalist. So that basically ended. Mark is still in prison. He's still being denied of getting a parole, shit like that. And his wife, you know, she didn't want to get divorced with him. He even mentioned that he wanted to get divorced. It'll be better, but she didn't want to. She wanted to stay with him. Gloria, you know, has a quiet life to herself, probably in Hawaii, and she's just looking forward to be with him on the beach where he proposed to her. So she's basically waiting for him to get out, and he goes to fucking Hawaii, y'all. It's kind of fucked up, but that is pretty much it about sorry, someone messaged me and that scared me because it was buzzing near my chest. Well, not my chest. Yeah, my chest. That's pretty much it. I hope you liked this episode. So listen to my other episodes. They're pretty decent, if I say so. Go to my Instagram and give me a rate. That will help me out so much. It will help me out if you give me a rate. And yeah, guys, I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening, y'all.